The Dangers of Date Setting. The subtitle is The Dangers of Dating, the Rapture, the Second Coming, or the End of the World. So I want you to bow your hearts with me as we ask the Lord to bless this morning. Father God, we love you. And again, we count it an honor and a privilege, first of all, to stand before you, and Lord, also before your people. Holy Spirit, this morning, I ask that as we go into the Word, this morning, Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Open the Scriptures to our heart. Give us clarity, O God, in the latter days regarding your prophetic Word. Make us all students of the Scriptures, O God. Lord, in these latter days, make us bold believers, O God, to challenge false doctrine. And Lord, use every one of us, O God, to witness and to cause many to come to Christ. This morning, Lord, we come against every scheme, every strategy of the devil. And Lord, we bind his works now. Lord, have your way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The dangers of date setting. Now, I know this may be a little unique message, and a lot of people probably never heard a message on this sort, but I'm going to deal with some issues. Being that I'm a Bible prophecy teacher, we're going to see some things. There's an alarming rise in date setting. People today are dating the rapture. They're dating the second coming. They're even dating the end of the world. Well, we're going to see this morning, based on the scripture, that is something that we should not participate in or be a part of. You may have coworkers that may see things. All over Southern California, there are billboards all over the city predicting that the world is coming to an end May 21, 2011. Well, we're going to see some things this morning based on scripture. I want to start with a verse here in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse number 13. And our Savior, he's given us this word. He says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh." This is very powerful, saints. We're going to see all through the scriptures this morning that our Savior has so beautifully placed in the scripture that no man can know the day nor the hour of his return. But yet and still, we have many today who claim to know the return of the Lord. Now, I must preface this message by saying this. We are truly living in the end times. How many would agree this morning? We're living in the end times. It's evident. The signs of the times are ever before us. As a matter of fact, there's so many indicators that it's so hard to keep up with them. That being said, we still cannot date set the rapture, the second coming, or the end of the world. And we're going to see that. I want to quote here in the book of Acts. This was when Jesus was about to leave his disciples. After his resurrection, he appeared with his disciples. He was there with them for a while. And the disciples figured that, well, Lord, since you've died and now you've risen from the dead, they thought at this time he was coming to set up the kingdom. Look at this. The book of Acts, chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible says, "And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him," of Jesus, "saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Verse 7. "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Even Jesus warned his disciples that, listen, it's not for you to know the actual times or the seasons that God hath put in his own power. Now, we can know events and things that's going to lead to it, but you'll never know the actual day. You know, one reason I believe, too, that we as a church will never know the actual day is because God is looking for people that want him. He's looking for those that are anticipating his return, not those who can set a date and then get their lives right before the date. Many people today are living their lives right on the edge, and they want to know those kind of dates. Now, I want to bring in our prophecy chart, and this is a chart of time. And what I want to show you this morning, we're in what's called the church age, or the dispensation of the church. I do believe and teach that the next major event on God's prophetic calendar is that event called the rapture of the church, where the church is raptured and taken out, then the seven-year tribulation, then the second coming of Christ, when Christ literally comes back to set up his millennial kingdom. Now, again, we have some today who actually want to date when the rapture is going to take place. They want to date when the second coming would take place. And then they want to date when the end of the world would take place, going into the eternal world. Well, again, we're going to see this morning, you can't do that. It's dangerous. The church has gone through many date-setting episodes. The dates that were set have come and gone. History has proven that those who claim to know when Christ will return to rapture the church have all missed it. And the tragedy of it all is that there will be others to follow. It's amazing to me, saints. We're going to see some amazing things this morning. How the Word of God literally talked about in the latter days, certain things would transpire. And again, we living in such a high-tech society, we still have people that will not honor the Word. And they're going to believe what men will say over the Word of God. Many people will follow these latter-day date setters. And again, it's such a dangerous thing to do. Now, I'm a teacher, so I like to deal with topics. I'm going to give you six topics. I'm going to hit them pretty fast this morning. First of all, we're going to look at date setting in our recent history. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you some date settings from our recent history. Then we're going to look at date setting in our present day. I'm going to show you some current day date setters. Then we'll see why have so many been shaken. Then we'll look at a scripture view against date setting. We'll see scripture views against date setting. Then I'm going to show you how date setting hurts Bible prophecy. And then last, we'll close up with a word of warning and admonition. First of all, date setting in our recent history. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring in some things here, some brief false date setters. The Jehovah's Witnesses are notorious. They have really given 9 particular dates that have all been false. 1874, 1878, on and on down to 1975. And then I'm gonna give you one more in the future there. In the 1980s, this gentleman named Stephen Swihart, he predicts that the world would come to an end in his book called Armageddon. He believed that in the 80s that we would literally go to the end of the world. We're in 2011 now, so his book was not right. 1982, Benjamin Krim, he's part of the group called the Terror Center. He predicted that the Christ was here. The guy, they call him the Lord Maitreya. He taught that there would be a general overshadowing over the world and Christ would literally reveal himself. Again, that didn't happen. It's another false prediction. 1984, again, the Jehovah's Witness predicted, again, the end of the world. Again, they have proven to be false again. Here's another one. August 17, 1987, the Harmonic Convergence. New Age author Jose Aguayas claimed that Armageddon would take place unless 144,000 people would gather in certain places in the world in order to resonate in harmony on this day. In other words, 144,000 people would get together on August 17th and they would resonate. And their resonating would cause Armageddon to not happen. But the problem with that, saints, is that they don't understand what Armageddon is all about. Again, this is a falsehood, false date. 1988, Edgar C. Wisenaar. This man predicted the rapture would occur, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about him as we go a little further. He also adjusted his teaching in 1989. When it didn't happen in 88, he had to revise it. And again, both predictions were false. Many people today are following these false date setters, these false prophets. And again, I'm just so amazed to me to see the number of people that will follow those who don't know. Now, I want to quote one of my colleagues, Dr. John Ankerberg. He did a message entitled, "Why Is It Wrong for Christians to Predict When Christ Would Return to Planet Earth?" Listen to what he says. He says, "The knowledge of fulfilled prophecy and the sure word of Christ's eventual return should be of great comfort to Christians. But the question is not so much whether we should be ready to meet God at such and such a date in the future, but we are ready to meet him now. Death can overtake anyone, any one of us at any moment. Whenever Christ returns, his people must be ready for him. And those who have lived godly lives and expressed devoted sacrificial concern for Christ's interests will be rewarded at his coming. Those who have lived for worldly pleasures and themselves only will not." He goes on to say this: "The real purpose of knowledge about Christ's coming is not knowing a specific date, but the encouragement," listen at this, to live godly in this life, so that we won't be ashamed when Christ does return. Unfortunately, this current genre of date-setting books reveal many Christians have little concern for proper biblical interpretation or careful study of the Scripture. This is why speculations over date-setting must be rejected by Christians," listen at this, "for the general health of the church. These books may have sold millions of copies, but what of the spiritual damage they accomplish through false predictions? Now, this morning, I'm going to share with you, there is a danger in date setting. There's a danger in following those who set dates. You know, many of these books I'm going to show you in a few minutes here, these are false prophecies. And the predictions these men are making, they are totally against what the Bible says. Listen, saints, either the Word of God is correct or these latter-day predictions are correct. And I got to tell you something, the Bible stands the test. The Word of God is solid. You can trust the Word of God. If our Savior Jesus said, no man would know the day nor the hour, listen, you can rest on that. I don't care how dynamic a preacher may be or how spectacular his message may be. If his message is contrary to this book, you as a Christian need to reject it. You need to put it in the file 13. Get rid of it because it's a falsehood. Now, I'm going to bring up again some of these false books. And again, this one here, this was Edgar C. Wisenark, his book, 1988 and 88 Reasons Why. He believed that on September 13th, the church would be raptured. As a result of it, it didn't happen. On the back of the book, it was called On Borrowed Time. He sold multi-millions of copies of this book. I was in another state a few weeks ago teaching a Bible prophecy conference. A gentleman came to me. He said, Brother Perkins, I was one of those guys. I was part of a church where my pastor believed this man's teaching. He said, my pastor preached it so hard. He said, we went to church and we learned the message. But then I went on my job. He said, I told all my coworkers that Jesus was going to rapture the church on September 13th. He said, but it didn't happen. And he said, I had to go back to my job and talk to all of those workers to let them know that I believed a lie. And he said, the first thing I said, now, if my pastor got this wrong, what else did he get wrong? Let me tell you something, saints. We're going to see this morning, you must stay with the Word of God. You must stand on the authority of the Scripture. The Bible must be your final authority on everything that you believe. And you got to be very careful. Here's two other books here. In October 28, 1992, this book came out. This one's called The True Holy Spirit Comes from a Single Root. This book was produced by a group in Korea. And I'm going to talk about some of the damages of what happened in Korea as a result of this. But this group came out with this teaching that the rapture was going to take place October 28, 1992. My wife and I, we finished a prophecy conference in 92. And a gentleman came in with a tract and said, he said, the rapture is going to take place. And I said, amen, brother, you are right. I mean, I'm a prophecy teacher. Yes, the rapture is going to take place, until the guy told me the date. And when he told me the date, I said, wait a minute, brother, something's wrong with your theology. He said, oh, I know all the scriptures. No man knows the day. No man knows how. I know all of that. He said, but what's different about this prophecy, he said, a young boy received it. Not a man, but a young boy. A 16-year-old Korean boy supposedly received a prophecy from Jesus that the rapture was going to take place October 92. He also believed that he would be left behind to minister to the 144,000 Jews. Well, this thing shook Korea, and I'm going to share some things that happened there. Here's another one, 1994, September 29th through October 2nd, 1992. This book was produced by Harold Camping, a very thick book. In this book, he dated the rapture. He even went so far as to date the beginning of eternity. Saints, this is just dangerous. It didn't happen. Falsehood. And I got to tell you, many people were hurt by this. Many, I know of churches in San Diego that actually dissolved as a result of these false prophets. The pastors grabbing this stuff and just going with it. And again, it produced much harm in their churches. Now, let's go a little further. We look at date setting in our present day. And what I want to do here, I want to just read this. Even though we have had false date setters in the past, it has not stopped the onslaught of 21st century date setters. Truly, these latter-day false prophets have proven that the Word of God is true regarding false teachers and teaching in the last days. We must warn this generation of their deceptions. And that's one reason why I'm giving this message this morning. You know, as a prophecy teacher, I must deal with this issue because it affects the message of Bible prophecy. You as a Christian, you need to be armed and ready armed with the scripture so you can help your coworkers and friends and family members that may be deceived by these falsehoods. We need to know what the Bible teaches regarding the date settings. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11, Jesus said this. This is one of the signs of the times. He said, "And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many." This is a latter-day prophecy. Jesus said, in the latter days, you're going to have false prophets that will come on the scene and many people would literally be deceived. I'm going to share in a little bit why people are deceived as a result of it. We're going to see some amazing things, but I want to show you this. The History Channel has produced a number of programs promoting 2012 as the end of the world. And this is amazing to me. I mean, you can't watch History Channel without some program showing that the world is coming to an end. In 2006, they had a program called the Mayan Doomsday Prophecy. 2007, they had one entitled Last Days on Earth. 2007, they produced a program called Doomsday 2012, The End of Days. 2009, they produced a program called Seven Signs of the Apocalypse. And then 2009, they produced another one entitled Nostradamus 2012. Now, these programs, they were produced in 2006 on to 2009, but they're re-airing these programs, especially the ones regarding 2012. They are airing these programs trying to tell us that the world is coming to an end in 2012. Now, I'm not going to spend much time this morning on that because I do have a DVD on our table where we go in depth. It's entitled 2012, A Warning or a Deception. And I go in depth in this message to show you that the 2012 warning, it's a deception. It's not a warning. The world will not be destroyed in 2012. It will not come to an end in 2012. You can stand on the authority of the word. There are many things that God prophetically have hard-coded in the scripture that must take place before the world literally comes to an end. 2012 is a false teaching and it's not true. But I'm going to deal with one area and we're going to see in the screen here. Harold Camping of Family Radio, he predicts the end of the world will take place this year, May 21, 2011. And I want to deal with this one because this is a latter-day, current-day false prophet. Many people, you drive around town, I'm going to show you in a few minutes some of the ads. Harold Camping produced a new book. Harold Camping has again proclaimed the end of the world. This time, the end of the world is set for 2011 AD. In his new book entitled Time Has an End, A Biblical History of the World, 1113 BC to 2011 AD. In his book, he proclaimed the church age has ended in 1988, 40 years after the beginning of the nation of Israel in 1948, and that the beginning of the Great Tribulation started in 1988. 1994 marked the beginning of the second jubilee or latter rain. He once said that in 1994 it was the end of the world. He said now the end of the world is, according to Harold Camping, is set for May 21, 2011. I want to say this morning, go on record, that this is false teaching. It is false teaching, false doctrine. It's a lie. There's no truth to it. Look at this. They have spent multi-millions of dollars putting these billboards all over the country, not also just in the country, but also internationally. You go online, you can see all in Africa, they have these billboards, Judgment Day, May 21, 2011. This is just unbelievable. They have people wearing T-shirts saying the rapture, May 21, 2011. A wise man discerneth. Listen, saints, in these latter days, we must be students of the scripture. We cannot be gullible believers. You got to stand on the authority of the word and be bold in the latter days to challenge false doctrine. Be bold in the latter days to challenge false teaching. This is false doctrine. My wife and I, we live in San Diego, and we were down close by the border, San Ysidro. And I was there, and I came up on one of these billboards. I'm going to bring it in for you a little bit closer. It says, Judgment Day, May 21, 2011. It says, cry mightily unto the Lord. But I want you to look over here at this little gold emblem they have here, a gold stamp. It says, the Bible guarantees it. Saints, let me tell you something. This is dangerous. Because after May 22nd, 2011, when the world does not come to an end, when the judgment does not happen, many people in the world are going to say this. See that junk, all them Christians, that stuff is not real. See that rapture stuff, that's not real. Many people today, some people right now are in panic because of these banners. I mean, they're driving all over the country and they're seeing that the world is coming to an end. This is irresponsible. And we as a church, we need to deal with this. Look at this lady, Allison Warden, 29, had her Subaru wrapped to let people know what she calls the day of Christ's return. On her car, she got a car wrapped. It says, Return of Christ, save the date. They have a website called wecanknow.com, May 21, 2011. Let me tell you something, this is a falsehood. And we, the church, need to deal with it. We need to, listen, you will have co-workers, I guarantee you on your job, that you need to minister to and let them know that this is a false prophet. You tell them, you know something, the Bible talked about in the latter days that there will be false teachers like this. Don't believe that. That's a lie. But hey, Jesus is coming back though. And you need to be ready for him. Look at this. This is the banner again. It says, save the date, return of Christ, May 21. And look at, they have a calendar there with a person marking May 21. Yeah, mark the date. No, mark that day as another day of a false teacher. And it's amazing to me the number of people that have eaten this up. I meet Christians that are worried about this. I said, what's wrong with you? I said, don't you know what the scripture teach? When the book came out in 1988, I had pastors calling me, Brother Perkins, I got the man's book. What do you think about it? I said, well, I think it's a lie. I said, the scripture says no man knows the day nor the hour. I'm going to rest in what Jesus said. But again, many people, they have, rather than know the scripture, they believe a lie. And again, it's dangerous. Now, why have so many been shaken? Why have so many been shaken? In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 29, the Bible says here, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. The reason why so many have erred, saints, because they don't know the scriptures. I was talking with Pastor earlier this morning, and he was sharing about some statistics in regards to the percentage of Christians who literally bring their Bible to church. You know, I think what's happening today, we have a church body of Christ that is scripturally illiterate. We don't know what the scripture teach. And I'm going to tell you something, it is dangerous. Listen, if anybody should know what the scripture teaches, it should be the church. God, Jesus saved you to go out to reach a dying world. And you need to know the truth as you're going out to minister to them. Well, Jesus said, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. Again, why have so many erred? Because many have not studied the word of God for themselves. 2 Timothy 2:15 commands that we study the word to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't let your pastor do all of your studying. You as a Christian, as a child of God, you need to know what the Bible teach. Why have so many been shaken? Because many don't question what is being taught. Listen, saints, if I hear something that sounds contrary to the scripture, oh man, I challenge it. Oh man, wait a minute. No. I remember when the Da Vinci Code came out. First time I heard that, I said, lie? That's a lie of the devil. Da Vinci Code said that Jesus would be married and he would have, he was married to Mary Magdalene and had a bunch of children. I said, that's a lie. It didn't shake me. It didn't shake me not one bit because I knew it was a lie. Everything Jesus did, he fulfilled scripture that was pre-written on his life. Oh, I said, no, that's a lie. And a lot of times, what's sad to say, even in the church, we are too politically correct when it comes to things like this. Listen, saints, if I hear it, I'm going to challenge it. Lastly, why are many shaken? Because many follow church leaders and not the word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, as I follow Christ, follow me. In other words, if I stop following Christ, Paul said, don't follow me. Listen, I'm going to follow church leaders. I have a pastor in San Diego. I'm accountable to my pastor. I'm going to follow my pastor as long as my pastor is following Jesus. I'm going to follow men of God as long as they are following Jesus Christ. I've said many times as a prophecy teacher, I said, if I change my teaching tomorrow, and I start dating the rapture, listen, come find Brother Perkins and come deal with me. Come grab me. Come help me because something is wrong. Listen, if I change my message tomorrow, don't follow that false teaching. Listen, we as the church need to challenge what we are hearing. We need to know what the Bible says in regards to it. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, the Apostle Paul dealt with some issues in the church. And look what he says in verse 16. It says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker. Of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Even in the Apostle Paul's day, there were men who didn't know the scripture. The Bible said that these men, concerning the truth, they erred in their teaching. Hymenaeus and Philetus. These two men, they were going around the towns teaching that the resurrection had already occurred. Paul said, no, it has not occurred yet. Don't be shaken by these false teachers. As it was in Paul's day, so shall it be in our times. And the only way a Christian can be deceived today if he's not in the scriptures. If a Christian is deceived today, he's deceived because he is illiterate in scripture. He's deceived because he's not a student of the word. And I got to tell you something, God can hold you accountable if you don't know the scripture. You got to hear me. Now, let's look at some scripture views against date setting. And all I'm going to do here, I'm just going to let our Savior give you what he says about it. Should we set dates? Can we know dates? I'm going to give you some verses here. These are scriptural verses here. Luke 12, verse 40. We know these passages. Verse 40. Jesus said, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not. He says, I'm coming when you're not even thinking about it. You're at home, work hard days working, you run a nice hot bath water. I mean, the suds are going and the steam coming up. And you're about to get into the tub and all of a sudden Jesus come back. Your wife fixed a nice meal, your favorite meal. You sit at the table, you're about to dine and eat this favorite meal. And all of a sudden Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back in an hour when you're not thinking about him. So therefore, we must be living our life anticipating his return. Look at this one, Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, Jesus said. No man knows the day. God will not give mankind that authority or that right. I heard one of my colleagues said this. He said the day men figure out the date of the rapture, God changes the date. He said, no, I'm not. Another date. I'm going to change the date. Look at this from Matthew 24:42. Jesus said, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 24:44. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Look at this, Matthew 24:50. The Lord of that servant shall say in that day, when he looketh not for him, and in that hour that he is not aware of. The Lord's going to come in a day when the servant's not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware. See, this latter-day date setting is false teaching. Either Harold Kaplan's prediction is true, or the Bible is an error. Either the Bible is true, or Harold Kaplan's prediction is true. Again, saints, I believe the authority of the Word of God. We need to stand on the scripture. Look at this one. Mark 13:33. Jesus says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. You don't know when it's going to happen. You don't know the day. You can't date the rapture. The rapture is an imminent event. It can happen at any time, any moment, any second. It can take place before I finish this message this morning. Now, date setting hurts Bible prophecy. And as a prophecy teacher, I must stand in the defense of the prophetic word, prophetic teaching. It's like the boy who cried wolf. He cried so many times when there was no wolf that when the wolf actually appeared, no one believed him. Many today do not believe in the rapture because of all the false date setters out there who have predicted a false rapture prophecy. Many pastors have abandoned the teaching of Bible prophecy because they don't want to be labeled a false teacher, and because many don't understand the teaching of Bible prophecy, they have chosen to forfeit this valuable message of the hope of the return of Jesus Christ in the rapture. Again, saints, because of all of these latter-day date setters, many pastors don't teach the rapture at all. The rapture is a blessed message. It's a blessed hope. It's something that every believer needs to look forward to. There are much benefits for the rapture. But again, we have many date setters out there, and many pastors say, I just don't want to believe in no rapture. Now, as a prophet teacher, I do teach a pre-tribulational rapture. I believe that the rapture will take place before the tribulation. I've heard some pastors say, well, I don't know which view is right. I have what's called a pan theology view, that I'm going to believe in that when it all pans out, that's the view I'm going to hold. I say, well, that's a lazy view. You need to understand what the scripture teaches. I mean, the tribulation was never designed for the church. It's basically designed for the nation of Israel. The end result of the great tribulation that men will, Israel will come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It was never designed for the church. You keep it in that perspective, you have no problem in regard to which view we should hold and believe. But again, many date setters have taught some ridiculous things and has brought much judgment. Now, Harold Camping in 1994 had his book out in regards to the rapture. And Charisma Magazine interviewed him in November after his prophecy failed. November, they talked with him. It says they talked with Camping about his failed prophecy on the rapture. In one encounter, a seven-hour debate, Camping implied that no great harm would result if his predictions prove incorrect. So he, in 1994, he said it wouldn't cause harm. So now today, evidently in 2011, he also still believed that there'll be no great harm if it doesn't come to pass. Charisma said real damage has been done, and worst is yet to come, citing reports, listen at this, of believers who sold their possessions in anticipation of the end. Multitudes will go into spiritual limbo because they believed Capping's teachings. Lives have been hurt. I want to show you something. Remember I told you about Korea, this young boy, a 16-year-old boy, received this so-called vision from Jesus? You know what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul gave us a warning. He said, though I or an angel come to you and preach any other gospel than the gospel that was once preached, Paul said, you need to call that angel or that teacher accursed. If his teaching or his prophecy is contrary to the word of God, you as a believer do not have to receive it. You can call him a false prophet and call him an accursed. Well, Los Angeles Times reported what happened in Korea in 1992. Seoul, Korea, listen at this. For months, thousands of believers proclaiming the rapture is coming stood on street corners and predicted the end of the world. Believers had quit jobs or school and sold everything to prepare to ascend to heaven late yesterday. But early today, 15 minutes after midnight deadline passed, worshippers were told heaven can wait. Nothing has happened, said Reverend Chang Manho of Seoul's largest doomsday church, the Mission for the Coming Days. Sorry, let's go home. Let's go back to a normal life. God lied to us, an angry congregant said as he left another church. You don't think there's some harm? There's much harm. The author goes on to say this. The story goes on and says, they like an estimated 20,000 South Koreans had believed they would be lifted to heaven at the stroke of midnight. the phenomena known as the rapture. They call it a phenomena. Set off a social crisis in South Korea as scores of believers sold their houses. Listen at this. Quit their jobs, abandoned their families, and underwent abortions to prepare for the one-way ride to heaven. At least four followers committed suicide before Wednesday, but no new suicides were reported after midnight. At 12:10 a.m. today, as 1,500 riot police officers, 200 plainclothes detectives, and 200 journalists kept watch outside the church, a teenage boy stuck his head out of the third floor window and yelled to the crowd, "Nothing has happened." 8 minutes later, two girls peeked out of the same window. They told the reporters they never believed in the rapture anyway. You don't think that there's danger, say, when this false teaching is presented? Let me tell you something. There's a danger. You know, the church is going to have to go through this all over again as a result of this false teaching. I think pastors across the nation, they need to, especially as we near the May 21, 2011 date, I think pastors need to stand bold and warn their churches of this false doctrine. Get it to the members. Let the members go out and let the members go throughout their communities and preach against this false teaching. Because again, it's going to bring damage to the truth of the word. People will look at it as the Bible is not real. As I close, a word of warning and admonishment. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, Paul wrote this. He said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." He says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Listen again, saints, you have a right as a Christian to judge everything that you hear. And the way you judge it based on the word of God. The apostle Paul told in the book of Acts chapter 17, 11, he talked about those that were more noble in Thessalonica. He said that those in Thessalonica, they were more noble because they received the word of God with all readiness of mind, but they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. When the apostles taught those in Thessalonica, they received the word. But when the service was over, they went into the Old Testament to verify what these men had taught. And today, we as a church, we need to do the same thing. Whatever you hear, you better judge it based on the authority of the word. Don't be spoiled or deceived by a latter-day philosophy. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul, he said this, that we henceforth, listen at this, be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The apostle warned, said, listen, it's time for us to grow up as the children of God. No longer children, but mature believers now who are not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It amazes me the number of Christians that fall prey to just some silly teachings. When if they become a student of the word, they will never ever fall prey to some of this silliness. Had a lady, one of our conferences, she said, "Brother Perkins," raised her hand, she said, "Brother Perkins, did Jesus really marry Mary Magdalene?" I said, "No, ma'am, he didn't marry Mary Magdalene." I said, "Because the scripture never said he would marry Mary Magdalene." It amazes me. Hebrews 13:9. Look at this. Paul wrote this. He said, "Be not carried about with divers or many and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines." I challenge Christians from coast to coast, be very careful what you read today. Be very careful what you watch on TV. Be very careful what you watch on History Channel and Discover Channel when it comes to things of a biblical nature. Nine times out of ten, they will never, ever give you the truth. Be very, very careful about latter-day finds. Things, you know, they found the lost gospels. That doesn't make any sense to me, lost gospels. Think about this, saints. God, the creator of the world, Father God created everything. God created the sun. And you know, the sun rises every morning, whether you see it or not. It could be cloudy, but guess what? The sun is behind them clouds. God has this universe on such a time, on such a time that everything flows according to God's original plan. God's timing is so amazing that NASA sends things into space based on the time that they know that the universe is set in. You know, God set the times, you know, where even our weathermen can predict when the high tide will come in and when it'll go out. They can tell you up to the minute when high tide is in and when it's going to leave. God created all of that. And think about it. The God who made all of this stuff lost his gospels. You think about that. The God who created all of this, put everything in time, everything balanced, everything is flowing so neat, he lost his gospels. And he needs us to find his lost. Don't believe the lie. Listen, saints, everything that God wants to have, he's given to us already in the Word of God. And we need to be students of the Scriptures. And we need to know what the Bible teaches in these latter days. I want to give you this last verse here. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 8. The Bible says here, the grass withered, the flowers fadeth, but the word of our God stand, how long? Forever. Listen, saints, you can trust the authority of the word of God. God want to challenge you in these latter days to stand up against false doctrine, false teachings. This world depends on us knowing the truth. This world depends on us standing strong for the word of God. I want you to bow your heart with me as we close this morning in prayer. Father God, we love you. And again, we thank you so, so much for the word. Oh God, I thank you, Lord. You so beautifully placed into the Scriptures the truth. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you challenge us as Christians in these latter days. Lord, challenge us as believers to become students of the Scriptures. Lord, help us, oh God, to challenge a dying world that don't know you. And Lord, this morning we give you all the honor and all the glory. Lord, if there's anyone here who don't know you this morning, Lord, challenge them, dear God, to receive you this morning. Lord, don't let them leave this place without coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good?
This has been a production of According to Prophecy Ministries. If you would like more materials from According to Prophecy Ministries, you can write us at According to Prophecy Ministries, P.O. Box 6, Lemon Grove, California, 91946. Or you can visit us on the World Wide Web at www.according2prophecy.org.